Sarah Fisher will come and share the gospel reading.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of the Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." We'll read the responsive reading of the Song of Mary on number 131.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. From this day all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is on those who fear God from generation to generation.
My soul gives glory.
The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit. God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
God has come to the aid of Israel, the chosen servant, remembering the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and to his children forever.
My soul gives glory to my God. My heart pours out its praise.
Thank you all. I called my meditation message for today Singing with Mary, and then I confess I found that I did a Singing with Mary about 5 years ago, and some of my thoughts are the same, so you might recognize them, but if you can remember what I said 5 years ago, I didn't, so. Mary had said yes to the angel Gabriel, yes to God. So she was pregnant, having to tell Joseph and her family and figure out what to do, how to cope, what this meant. But as I told the children, the angel had told her, "Elizabeth, your relative in her old age is pregnant too." The angel pointed Mary towards support, toward another woman whose world had been turned upside down. So she went to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, the minute she saw her, knew and affirmed what had happened. What a gift that was to Mary. What a gift to Elizabeth. God gave them each other in this confusing and wonderfully amazing time in their lives. I believe God does that for us too. God gives us sisters and brothers for our journeys, people to walk with us, people who understand our fears and our confusion, people who believe our mystical moments, who affirm our visions of angels, the movement of God's Spirit in our lives, so that together, holding each other, supporting each other, walking together, we are able to go forward, living into God's will for our lives. For Mary and Elizabeth, what strikes me is that when they came together, they found their joy. They weren't alone, And so together they were able to shout and sing and realize what good news this was. I can hear Elizabeth shouting out her affirmation. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. My baby jumped for joy at the sound of your voice. And blessed are you who believe that what God told you would happen. And then Mary breaks into song, a song of faith and hope. Now, some commentators, some folks are cynical that this song really comes from Mary. They want to think that Luke made it up. And yet, the more I think about that, I think that a young Jewish woman who had been raised all her life singing and praying the Psalms, she knew a lot about how to create a song to God. Mary's song we call the Magnificat because in Latin the first word is Magnificat, which means magnify. My soul magnifies the Lord. Something like my soul is grasping how big God is. My heart is expanding with the greatness of God. Or even that my heart, that I am seeing this act of God and I am making it bigger, proclaiming it to the world. Mary's song echoes the song of Miriam, leading the Hebrew women in dancing after they crossed the Red Sea, freed from the Egyptians. Mary's song echoes the song of Hannah, who praised God for finally giving her a son, Samuel. These are all songs of women who had experienced the inbreaking of God into their lives. They had experienced God as one who had seen their pain, noticed their distress, responded with justice and mercy. They couldn't just talk about it. They had to sing it. Mary had to sing because she was a woman whose life had been transformed. She had encountered God's Spirit, and she was knowing in her own body that she had been blessed. She was filled with faith and hope that the Spirit was going to turn the world upside down, show mercy and blessing to the faithful, scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, bring down the powerful who oppress, fill the hungry with food, and send the rich and greedy away empty. It's a prophetic word, a vision of the world made right by the inbreaking of God. It's a song of mystical faith, prophetic hope. What do we do with Mary's song today? How do we hear it? Does her song stir us to joy, or does it leave us doubtful and questioning? Do we find ourselves wondering whether Mary's song is more than just wishful thinking in a young woman's dreams? On this day, of course, we have mixed feelings. Some of us are struggling and know people we're struggling with sickness, with addiction or mental illness, health challenges, death, grieving the loss of those we love dearly. We know that holiday gatherings with family are not all joy and delight. Our families are complicated, aren't they? We're all somewhat dysfunctional. We all can use a good dose of grace as we sit at our Thanksgiving tables. Not just the words you say, real grace from God at our Christmas tables. And our larger world is filled with so much that makes our hearts heavy and our souls troubled this Christmas season. We may find ourselves crying with the psalmist. How do we sing the Lord's song in this strange land? So we know these feelings. We know the fear and anxiety they can bring in us. But we don't want to live our lives just from that, do we? We do not have to live out of just that reactive mode. We want to go deeper to find joy, which I believe true joy is what rises up from a deeper place than the circumstances of our lives and of our world. One of the ways we soothe ourselves, settle our bodies, and stir up hope in us is through music, through singing. Rezma Menachem, in his book, which we've mentioned before, My Grandmother's Hands, talks about his grandmother's humming. All day long, he said, through her trials and struggles, she would hum. She hummed her sorrow, and she hummed her faith. Humming is a way you can settle your body. Help yourself move into a more balanced place when the world is whipping you and pulling you in all directions. And we can sing. Sing songs that remind us of who we are and whose we are. We are people of faith and hope. We are people of peace and love. We choose to center our lives in the peace and love of God. That's where we find meaning and direction. Like Mary and Elizabeth, we put our trust in the God, believing somehow that God knows us, sees us, understands our sufferings and our struggles, that God loves us just as we are. And when we don't feel it, we just need to sing until we do. Mary's song is a powerful reminder that God does not ask us to stand alone in the darkness against the forces of chaos and evil that are all around us. God calls us to stand together. God brings us into community to help each other hold on to faith and hope, to help each other find the light and let it shine in the darkness. Together we can find joy in the midst of our struggles and know peace even when the way is hard. Together we sing songs of faith and hope, songs of resistance. I've heard him say that Dorothy Cotton used to say that the civil rights movement was not the soundtrack to the movement, but a revolution in four-part harmony. There would have been no civil rights movement, she said, without the music. That's right, isn't it? Think of those children in Birmingham marching toward the fire hoses and the dogs singing. Think of the people in Selma marching toward that bridge singing. Those songs were the lifeblood of the movement. Songs can do that for us. They can strengthen us. They can get us up and marching. Songs can change the world. Most of us here remember that the Berlin Wall came down in 1989. But a story I love, and that many of us don't know, is that for months before that, in the city of Leipzig in East Germany, every Monday night, people gathered by candlelight around St. Nikolai Church to sing. At first, it was just dozens, then a few hundred. Finally, it grew to over 300,000. Half the citizens of Leipzig singing songs of hope and protest, singing and holding candles until finally the wall came down. Later, one of the officers of the East German secret police was asked, why didn't you crush that protest like you did so many others? And he said, we had no contingency plan for singing. So let us claim the power of our songs. Our Christmas carols are beautiful, but that's not all they are. Our carols are proclamations of faith, songs of hope and courage. We sing because the Spirit is at work in our lives. We sing because we trust in the God shown to us in Jesus. We sing because we believe in a God of love and justice. We sing of the God who knows the suffering and pain of this world and cares deeply. We sing of a God always, always at work to bring good out of evil, always trying to wring justice and mercy out of all that is wrong in our world. We sing God with us, for us, one with us. So this Christmas, let's just sing. Sing with Mary and the angels, magnify God. Let our hearts be expanded, our souls made brave and strong, our spirits strengthened. Let us sing with people of faith across this world. Glory to God. Glory to God. And on earth, peace. Amen.